I want to do a scripture reading just at this time, and we're reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, Matthew 27, verse 35 to 44. Matthew 27, verse number 35. It says here, "And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and said over his head this accusation written, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.' Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priest mocking him and the scribes and elders said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God.' The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." If we could just come over a little bit into the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 and verse 32 to 43. Luke chapter 23. Verse 32, "And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, saying, 'If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself.' And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss.' And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' Jesus said unto him, 'Today shalt thou be with me in paradise.'" We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I've been reading tonight these two scriptures, Matthew 27, Luke 23. I could also have turned you to Mark's gospel and also to the gospel of John. Because in these chapters, in the Gospels, we have the events that took place leading up to the crucifixion, the events that took place at the crucifixion, and the things that happened after the crucifixion. Each Gospel writer makes reference to Christ's death at Calvary. And each Gospel writer makes reference to the two men who were crucified with Christ, one on either side. So at Calvary, at the place called Golgotha, there were three crosses standing side by side. When Mark records what he saw there, he says, when it makes mention of the two thieves And the scripture was fulfilled with Seth. He was numbered with the transgressors. And of course, that scripture is found away in the heart of the Old Testament in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, that great chapter, where it says that the one that the prophet spoke about, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, that he would be numbered with the transgressors. And here is that prophecy, hundreds of years later, being fulfilled when Christ was crucified between two thieves. And I want to talk to you tonight about the crosses. The crosses. We want to look at these three crosses. And these three men on these three crosses were being executed. This was the Roman form of execution. Rome was a world power and dominion. And this was the Roman form of execution. It was cruel. It was slow. It was painful. The person on the center cross was the Son of God. On either side of him was a sinner. And we want to look at these three men who occupied these three crosses. I'm sure you've heard the little chorus, three crosses standing side by side, all broken law aside, two for their own transgressions died, the middle one for mine. So we want to start at the middle one tonight, the center cross. And on the center cross, we see the Christ. He was the person who hung on the center cross. We see the Christ. And we ask the question, why was he there? Had he committed some crime against the state? Well, Pilate said, and he was the ruler, the governor of the states put there by Rome, he said, I find no fault in him. So the state had no charge to lay against Christ. Had he committed some secret sin? Well, Peter, one of his disciples, said, who did no sin? He did no sin. And when you live with a person and work for a person for 3 years or so, may you get to know that person. Did he commit some sin against the law of God? Well, Paul, who was expert in the matters of the law, Paul said that he was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. And so the question remains, why was he there? Well, he was there because of you and me. He was there because he loved you and I. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. When the cry went out in heaven, in eternity, whom will I send? And whom will go for us? The Son of God stepped forth and said, here am I, send me. We sometimes sing the little chorus, there was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live. The way to the cross, he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. Dear friends, he was there as the Son of God. He was there as the sacrifice for sin. He was there not just dying on a Roman gibbet, but remember that cross became an altar, and he was offering his life as a sacrifice for sin. He was there as the substitute for me. My sins were put upon him. He took my place. He was there dying for me. That's what a substitute is. One who takes the place of another. and my God's wrath that should have fallen upon my head fell on his. He was there, dear friends, as the sacrifice, as the substitute for me. He was there as the surety for me. My, before men and women could be redeemed, the price for sin had to be paid. He was there to be my Savior. We read that Christ died for the ungodly, but he rose again to be the Savior of sinners. So in answer to the question, why was he there? This is why he was there. And so we see, first of all, tonight, the Christ on the center cross, not there for his own sins, because he had no sins of his own. He was there for my sins and for your sins. He was there because he loved you and he loved me, and he wanted us to have a Savior and to provide redemption for all. Now, the second thing I want you to see tonight is not only the Christ, but when we come to the other two crosses, we see the criminals. These two men that were crucified, one on either side, they were rascals of society. They were referred to as thieves. They were not only rascals of society, they were rebels of the state. A malefactor is a man who has taken up arms on the principle of resistance against the Roman oppression of Judea. They were there because of a political mindset. They were not only thieves, and they had harmed mankind, but they had also defined the state. They were rascals of society, they were rebels of the state, and they were revilers of the Savior. In Matthew 27:44, it says, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same. They said the same things as those that mocked him. But you know, as we examine these men in the light of God's word, we find that they were both sinners. They had sinned against God and against man, and they both deserved to die. They both deserved to die. Dear friends, tonight, let's examine ourselves in the light of God's word for a moment or two. My dear friends, we find that just as they were both sinners, we are sinners. They had sinned against God and against man, and we have sinned against God and against man. They deserve to die for their crimes, and we deserve to die eternally for our crimes of sin against God. Dear friends, each one of us has broken the law of God. We have failed to reach the standard of God's righteousness. We have sinned against God and against our fellow men. We have rebelled, and we stand in the same shoes as these men stood in. We're often good at seeing the sins of others and examining the lives of others and seeing the faults of others. But when we look at these men and look at ourselves, my dear friends, we're just the same as they were. Here are two men, hell-deserving sinners, both on the edge of eternity, hadn't much longer left in life. And for these men, they were getting nearer to eternity. And you know, friends, for all you know, you may be getting nearer to eternity. I'm sure that young girl that went out to have a jog last week up there in Armagh near Milford, she didn't realize when she left the house to go on that jog that she was near eternity. She expected to come back again. She never realized that a car was going to come and hit her. And she never realized how close she was to eternity. And that's the thing about life. Life is uncertain. Every day is uncertain. We know not what a day may bring forth. And for all you know tonight, or for all I know, there may be some of us here, and we're near eternity. Near eternity. We see Christ, the Christ on the center cross. We see the criminals on either side of him on these two crosses. Third thing I want you to see as we look at these crosses tonight is the conversion. The conversion. Let's look at these two thieves individually. Let's look first of all at the thief who repented. Both these men hung either side of the Son of God. Both of them railed on him, it says. That word railed, it just means they uttered abuse. They uttered abuse. They blasphemed and uttered abuse. And then one of them suddenly changed. And his whole attitude changed. And he rebuked his companion. And in Luke 23, verse 40, 41, he said to his companion, he says, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." You know, it would seem that God had taken a dealing with this man. That God was working in his life and working in his heart. And this man suddenly, remember he had been with his companion blaspheming the Son of God a moment or two ago. But we find that he's convicted about his sin. He says, "We receive the due reward of our deeds." We deserve to be here, he says. We're here because of what we're guilty of. He's convicted of his sin. This man knew that he was a sinner and he deserved to die. And it's a great thing when a person realizes that they're guilty. Realize that they're guilty. They're certainly not spotless white. He was convicted about his sin. And we see this man on the cross by the side of Jesus was not only convicted of a sin, but he was conscious of his need. He knew that he was guilty and he needed to be saved. And it's not only a great thing to know that you've sinned and that you're guilty and that you've fallen short of God's standard, but it's a great thing to know that you need to be saved. There's a whole lot of people out there tonight, and they don't think they need to be saved. They think they're all right. Maybe there's somebody in here tonight who's like that. But this man knew that he needed to be saved. He knew that he was going into eternity to meet God. And he needed to have his sins forgiven. And there's many people today, and they're not conscious of their need. Don't seem to realize their deep, dire, desperate need. So this man on the cross beside Jesus, he was convicted of a sin. He was conscious of his need. And he was concerned about his soul. Because in what he says, he makes reference to the afterlife. And he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Making reference to the afterlife. Knew that this wasn't the end of it all when he would close his eyes in death and they would take him down. Dear friends, he was concerned about the afterlife. He was convicted of a sin and conscious of his need and concerned about his soul. And it's a great thing when you're convicted of your sin. And it's a great thing, dear friends, when you're conscious of your need and when you're concerned about your soul. Because when you become concerned about something, no matter what that something may be, you do something about it. You do something about it. And we find this out as we look at this thief. We see he's calling on the Lord. Verse 42, "And he saith unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." This man believed that the only one that could save him was the man who hung beside him on the center cross. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He believed, you know, that Christ was not only going to die, but he believed that he was going to rise again. When thou comest into thy kingdom, my, he believed that he was going to rise again to be a living Savior. And we find that he was not only convicted of a sin and conscious of his need and concerned about his soul and calling upon the Lord, but he was consoled in death, because when he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me, Jesus, as it were, turned to him and he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Dear friends, when this man called out for salvation, the Lord answered him. He answered him. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, there's quite a number of people at Calvary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there along with the other women. But he didn't call on Mary to save him. And the chief priests and the scribes and the elders was there, the religious people of that day. But he didn't call on these religious people to save him. He didn't call on them at all. He called on the Lord to save him, because he knew that the Lord was the only one that could save him. He knew that the Christ of the cross on Calvary was the only one that he could turn to. You know, friends, another thing about this is this, that the Lord was within hearing distance of the sinner. When he called on the Lord heard him. And dear friends, it's wonderful to know that when you call on the Lord will hear you tonight. Whether you're a sinner that needs to be saved, or whether you're a saint that needs help, the Lord hears you. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, said the psalmist. And this man, my, he was within hearing distance, and when he called on the Lord heard him. The Lord can hear you cry, and all you need to do is call to him. And this book gives us the assurance that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we see the Christ, and we see the criminals, and we see the conversion. There was a conversion that took place that day at Calvary. A man, in his last moments, near eternity, and he cries out to the Savior. And Jesus says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know, as we look at these crosses tonight on either side of Christ's cross, we see the consequences. You know, this brings us now to the thief on the other side. You know, both these men were alike in life. They were thieves. They were malefactors. They were both dying on a cross. They were companions in crime. And they were companions in death. But they were separated in eternity. They were separated in eternity. The thief who repented, the Lord received him and forgave him. He says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The thief on the other cross died as he lived. And he went into death, blaspheming the Savior. And he went into eternity in a sins. And the Lord never said a word to him. terrible thing to go out into eternity in your sins. Jesus never said a word to him. Reading through a book at home about what certain people said in their dying moments, very interesting. D.L. Moody said this, "This is glorious. Earth receding, heaven opening, God calling." John Wesley said, "Best of all, God is with us." And then you turn to the other side. Sir Thomas Scott, Chancellor of England, said this as he died, "Until this moment, I thought there was neither God nor hell. Now I know and feel that there is both, and I know that I'm doomed to perdition by the very judgment of the Almighty." Voltaire, the famous infidel, who spent most of his life fighting Christianity, he cried out in his dying breath, "I am abandoned by God and man. I shall go to hell." Dear friend, tonight, we see here three crosses. On the center cross, there's a Savior, the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He died on that cross. He shed his blood. He rose again. On the center cross, there's a Savior who's able to save. On either side of that cross, there's another cross. There's a sinner who needs to be saved. Sinner that needs to be saved. But only one of these men was willing to turn to Christ and call upon him. On one cross, there's a man going to heaven. On the other cross, there's a man going to hell. One received the Savior, the other rejected him. And that's what made the difference. Tell me this as we finish tonight. On what side of the cross are you? On what side of the cross that Christ died on are you tonight? Are you on the side of the cross where the man repented and called out for mercy? Are you side of the cross where Jesus turned and said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise"? Or are you on the side of the cross where the sinner rebelled and rejected and died as he lived? Dear friend, tonight, three crosses standing side by side. Three crosses standing side by side. All broken law aside. Two for their own transgressions died. The center one for mine. Make sure you're on the right side of the cross. Make sure you're on the side that you're standing with the thief that cried out even in his dying hour, "Lord, remember me." Make sure that you're on the side of the cross of the man that's going to heaven, because the other man was on his road to hell. May God speak to our hearts tonight. Make sure you're on your way to heaven, because life is uncertain and eternity is real. May God bless tonight his word for his name's sake. We're going to say